ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. The title of the message this morning is Robes of Righteousness. And I would, as the song was sung, that our eyes would be opened, that the Lord would give us vision this morning. Without a vision, what happens to the people? They perish. We need to have a vision of what this is all about. We need to have a vision of Jesus. We need to have a vision of the church. We need to have a vision of how God wants us to live. Because if we don't have a vision, there will be nothing that we will be seeking after. So if you will turn with me to the book of Revelation in the 21st chapter, Revelation chapter 21. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word this morning. Verse 1, He said of chapter 21, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." So John the Revelator had seen, was getting a vision of the church. The church in New Testament is symbolically referred to as New Jerusalem, Zion, the city of God. And it is also referred to as the bride of Christ. And John had a vision of that final marriage, of the marriage of the final union of God's people with Jesus Christ at the end of time. This earth is going to be destroyed. This earth and this aerial heavens is going to be destroyed, but there is going to be a new place of abode that Christ's people, God's people, will forever be with the Lord. And so John had a vision of the church as a bride being coming in and meeting in that final union with her bridegroom, who is Jesus Christ. He said, "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem." So there's two symbolic things here, two symbols here that we're referencing God's people, and we won't take the time to back that up with other scripture. But New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, or from a place of holiness, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I would this morning that the Lord would help us and go beyond the words that I speak, that we would get a vision of the bride this morning. That we would get a vision of the bride who is clothed in robes of righteousness. Well, have you ever, you know how at a wedding, there's that first look. When the song begins to be played or sung, and I know there's lots of different songs, but I was thinking about the song that says something about when the waiting is over. The waiting is ended. And what? At last, my love. The waiting is ended. See, we're waiting for Jesus to come back, aren't we? I am waiting, as the song says, I am waiting, I am longing for the summons to come. I am looking forward this morning for the coming back of Jesus Christ. But I am only waiting and longing for that because my life, my robes have been washed in the blood of Jesus. If I had not been washed in the blood of Jesus, I would be fearing the coming back of Jesus. But because the blood has been applied, I'm looking forward to the coming back of the Lord. I am anticipating going to heaven, and I'm looking forward to it. But when the waiting is over, when the bride comes to meet her groom, there's been that time that they've had relationship and they've gotten to know each other and they're promised to each other. But that marriage is that, it's that final union together. That's what the coming back of Jesus is going to be with His church. It is as a marriage with the Lamb of God. Well, He said it was a bride adorned for her husband. Do you realize who the bride was dressed for? What would you think if a bride went around and took a survey of all of the other men that might be in attendance and said, what do you want me to wear? How do you want me to look? I think I would have a problem if my wife's goal, married or unmarried, if her goal was to adorn herself to please other men. Am I the only man that would have a problem if your wife was interested in wanting to please other men? You see, this bride, it says she was adorned for her husband. Her goal and her purpose was not to please anyone else. Her goal and her purpose was to adorn herself in a way that would be pleasing to her husband. Do you know that is what the Lord is looking for His church to do this morning? There are a lot of religious organizations that are in their lives, in their doctrine, in their worship, in how they live. They are trying to appease the people. They are trying to do things to draw in the crowd. They are trying to do things after the flesh. But do you realize that's the wrong goal and it's the wrong purpose? As the bride of Christ this morning, as some of God's people, our desire and our purpose should be to please our groom, to please the husband. That should be the goal of the bride. Having eyes only for the groom. Having eyes not for anyone else, but only for her groom that she has been waiting and longing for. I want to encourage us this morning to get our eyes on Jesus Christ and let the decisions that we are practically making every day not be determined upon what everybody else thinks. But Lord, I want to live my life today to please You. The things that I do, the places that I go, the attitudes that I have, what I listen to, what I look at, the way that I behave myself, Lord, I want to be adorned to please my husband. I want to live in such a way that is pleasing to God. And do you realize that that's a very personal thing between us and God this morning? But as we look at how the Lord wants us to be clothed and robed this morning, as the bride of Christ, I would encourage us to do some self-introspection. It is not the job of the preacher to go into your life, to go into your home and line everything out. There's a place if you want counsel and if you want advice, but any counsel and advice, I will tell you, it's going to come back to the Word of God. Because my ideas and my opinions are not going to get you to heaven. What's going to get us to heaven is the will of God. And that is found in His Word. So Lord, teach us this morning. Give us a vision of the bride of Christ and what that means to us. Because there's one passage in 2 Corinthians 11. Paul was saying that he had espoused to one husband that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. That's talking about the church. Do you realize that the church, the Lord is not interested in, I've said many times, especially in Africa, God is not a polygamist. God is not a polygamist. He has one wife. And we live in a time that people, everybody says they're the bride. Everybody says, oh, we're following God. And we look and there's this way and there's that way. And there's this doctrine and that doctrine. But folks, the scripture says that there is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is one baptism, there is one faith, there's one body, there's one Lord, there's one Spirit. Which means that there is only one bride this morning. There is only one bride. And I want to be part of that bride of Christ. Which means I'm going to have to stop following after my ideas and my standards and my traditions and my thinking. And say, Lord, would You help me to get a vision of what You want in my life? Some says, well, this is what the church has always taught. What do you mean, the church? What church? I want to follow what the church, the bride of Christ, has taught, and that's what's found in the Word of God. That means that it's not dependent. It's not dependent upon an organization or a history of man. It's based upon, thus saith the Word of God. There are many people that their lives are being defined spiritually by, well, the ministry says this. What ministry? I can take you down the road where a ministry says something different. Why do you give credence to this ministry and not that? The only thing that has credence this morning is when the true ministers of God are preaching the Word of God. Thus saith the Word of God. This is what the Lord wants of His bride. This is what God is calling us to. And you say, but I don't really like that. That's your right. You don't have to like everything that I preach this morning, but I will say, if what I preach is the Word of God, you will be accountable to it. You're not going to be accountable to me. You're not going to stand before me at the judgment, but we're going to be accountable to God, because in His faithfulness, He reveals to us His will for us. But if we can get a picture this morning of the beautiful bride, you realize when the bride comes in, you notice everybody turns around. You've been at a wedding and everybody's waiting with anticipation. And then the bride comes in and everybody's craning their neck to get that look. And you can just watch the crowd and their heads are like this, because they're watching. I would this morning that we get a vision of the chaste virgin, pure, spotless, undefiled. This is not a woman that has been running around with other men. This is a woman that has a single heart. That's the bride of Christ. My heart is singularly for the things of God. Lord, I don't want to please religions. I don't want to please the world. People say, but I'm feeling pressured. Who are you feeling pressured by? Who are you wanting to please? People? Groups? Organizations? A religious fellowship? Who are we trying to please this morning? Do you realize there is great liberty when we are not in bondage to people? But what defines our lives and what should define us as a church should be that our goal and our purpose is to be beautified with meekness, covered in the robes of righteousness, washed in the blood of Jesus. As that bride comes in, what would you think if you looked and she had spots on her dress? I remember, and I don't remember all the details, I remember Brother Curtis talking years ago about, I think it was his daughter Jessica, that something must have spilled on her dress right before the wedding was supposed to start. It was soon before. Talk about stressful. Because everybody's waiting to see this radiant, white, pure dress. Do you know that the Lord is coming back for a pure people this morning? He's coming back for a chaste church, a virgin, pure and undefiled. And this is the reason, talking about that parallel about marriage. And this is over in the book of Ephesians in the 5th chapter. We said, husbands, love your wives even as Christ, what? Love the church. Well, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it. But the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it. Now, this is why Jesus came and died. That he might present it, the church, the bride of Christ. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That you look on that garment that bride is wearing, and it's spotless. It's been ironed, the creases are gone, the spots are gone, and it's pure and it's holy. Do you know that's the church that the Lord is coming back for? That's the people. That's the church that Christ is going to come back for. Now, over in the book, still in the book of Revelation, in the 19th chapter, in the 7th verse, He said, let us be glad. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. See, the waiting's over. There's a marriage now. And his wife hath made herself ready. See, there was a time of preparation. Do you know what time we are in right now? It's a time of preparation. The Lord's wanting to get us ready, folks. He's wanting to get us ready. The bride hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That final union of Christ and the church depicted as marriage. That white linen is purity of doctrine. It's purity of life. Right? Because it said it's the righteousness of the saints. Folks, we talk some about, a lot, about holiness, which is purity. But do you realize that we are to be clothed in robes of righteousness? You know what righteousness is? Righteousness is that which is accepted by God. It's virtue. It's moral uprightness. It's part of what the word justified means. In other words, being innocent and free from guilt. True righteousness is only possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's only possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's a whole nother lesson on this, but suffice it to say this. We can bring the drunkard in this morning, and we can bring the woman in from off the street, and we can dress them up. We can put a suit on the man, and we can give the woman nice, modest clothing. And we can get them to measure to a good standard of conduct in their dress. We can tell them you need to be here every Sunday. We can say you need to be baptized, you need to testify. Every day you need to read your Bible and you need to pray. My question for you is that righteousness? Do you realize that the sinner can do all of those things? I am not teaching against having good standards in your life, all right? We've got to have them. But I want us to understand that righteousness is something that we cannot earn. Right, true righteousness. Our righteousness, the prophet Isaiah said, our righteousness is as filthy rags. And Jesus, on the other hand, looked at the scribes and Pharisees, and he said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, we can have good standards, we can have a lot of good deeds, we can pray and we can give and we can do deeds of charity and we can dress a certain way and we can abstain from worldliness. But that in and of itself does not bring righteousness, because the sinner man can do those things. There are some really odd groups of people today, or strange groups of people today, that have a very strict code of conduct. They've got the rules, and you have to do this, and the sinner can do those things. True righteousness comes by a divine work of God in our life. That it is His purity, it is His work in our lives that realigns us to makes us justified before Him. Folks, we are desperate this morning for the righteousness of God. I don't want to be clothed in my own righteousness. As the Pharisee that went to pray and said, I'm so thankful I'm not as other men. I pray and I fast and I give of my tithes, and I'm so thankful I'm not as this publican here. But when we come into the presence of God, it's, Lord, there's nothing I can do to be good enough. There's nothing I can do to earn God's approval except it be by way of His blood. That God looks on me and says, I see the blood of my Son has cleansed you from sin. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. True righteousness is a divine work of God. But when God does a divine work in my heart, then does not it change my behaviors? When the Lord's work and his righteousness has done something divine within me, does not that change how I live my life? Because righteousness is upright. It's what is true and just before God. Jesus came to this world that we might, the prophecy over there, it's like he came that we could serve him in holiness and in righteousness. That means that there's something practical to this morning. It means in how we live our lives, but I would that we get hold of that picture of the bride in her purity, in her godliness, clothed in white raiment, without spot and wrinkle, and then we should start looking at our own lives this morning. How are we doing? You see, it doesn't mean that we are humanly perfect. Is anybody here humanly perfect? Like I said before, I remember hearing of a minister that had been not among us, that had been married for 10 years. And at his 10-year marriage mark, he made the comment that he had never one time had to apologize to his wife. You know what my thoughts on that were? His poor wife. I think there's some self-righteousness going on. If you're married and you haven't had to apologize for 10 years, it's way delayed. I can just tell you. You see, it doesn't mean that we are humanly perfect, that everything I do is just, but it means that we are free from the moral impurities of the world. The scripture tells us what unrighteousness is. That helps us understand what righteousness is. Unrighteousness is defined, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Folks, this is a definitive statement. There are many religious organizations that will not teach on this passage of Scripture because they don't want to offend anybody. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. He said neither fornicators, this is unrighteousness, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. It's talking about homosexuality. He said nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers or partiers, nor extortioners, cheaters, shall inherit the kingdom of God. It was a definitive statement. Because unrighteous, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're not a fit bride for Christ. But when we have been redeemed and the work of Jesus Christ has been done in our heart, we are wearing robes of righteousness that we don't do those things anymore. Because we're walking in holiness. Are we still growing? Yes. Perfecting holiness. In patience and in love and in joy and in long suffering and in knowing more the will of God and becoming more like Him. That's preparation time. That's what we're doing here this morning. But we want to get a vision of that beautiful bride to know what we need to be working towards. Lord, when I start looking at my robes, what do I see? Is my heart, do I have eyes only for the groom? Or do I have eyes somewhere else? See, we need to have eyes only for Christ this morning to please Him. Scripture over in Romans talks about not yielding your members as servants to unrighteousness, but as servants to righteousness unto holiness. This is a daily thing now, saints. Are you yielding yourself as servants of righteousness? The words that we speak, the things that we do, the places we go, the attitudes that we have. Lord, I want to yield myself to righteousness. Lord, I want to be accepted that when you come back, I would be part of that bride of Christ that's pure and spotless. Jesus said, to seek ye first. And see, this is quoted often, but I think sometimes in the quoting, we fail to recognize the significance. Seek ye first what? the kingdom of God. And I think sometimes maybe we're guilty of kind of, yes, we need to seek the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. But you realize he didn't stop there? He said, seek first above your own desires, above your own wishes, above what everybody thinks about you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I am challenged this morning to seek and pursue the righteousness of God. Flee these things. Flee all of this unrighteousness and follow after righteousness with a pure heart. The scripture says to put on the new man, which was created unto what? Righteousness. Put on the new man. How have we been living? Have we put on the new man? Are we clothed this morning with robes of righteousness? And so I think a good litmus test is for us to go back to where we started. What is the bride to look like? She's beautiful. She's adorned not with the gaudiness, not with the flash in all the things of this world, but she is adorned in white. She's adorned to please her groom without spot, without wrinkle. And so I get a vision of the bride of Christ, of that church that God's going to come back for, and then it brings it down a little closer to home. What about us this morning? How have we been living? How have we been acting? Say, well, I've been doing good. And then what are we? Is it the righteousness of God or is it self-righteousness? Which is it? The scripture over in 1 Corinthians 15:34, we won't turn and read it, but it says, awake to righteousness. Folks, I believe the Lord wants us to wake up. We won't take the time either, but remember the story of the 10 virgins? 10 virgins. And they slumbered and they slept. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the oil, burned out of 5 of them. Wake up. Awake this morning to righteousness. You see, and we can debate. Lord, help us here. We can debate hot button issues about standards, about traditions, about, well, this church teaches this and this one teaches that, and I just don't believe what the church says. Wait, who says? Who are we talking about now? We can debate, and we can argue, and we can discuss, but folks, at the end of the day, we must measure to the righteousness of God. And when we look at our lives through the lens of God's righteousness, I find that a lot of the debates just kind of go away. Because now I'm not trying to see what I can get away with and still say I'm saved. All right, do you all know what I'm talking about? I'm not arguing with you now about, well, I can do that and still be saved. You can't tell me I can't do that and not be saved. You don't have to please me. But I want a vision of the bride. And when I examine my life through that lens of the righteousness of God, all of my arguments to see what I can get away with and how close to the world I can get and still defend my salvation, it puts it in a totally different perspective. Lord, I want to be clothed with the robes of righteousness to please the groom. So there is a balance then this morning of the inward, because true righteousness only comes from the Lord. But when it's on the inside, it is going to be lived out in a very practical way. So as we close this morning, we're going to close with a scripture in 2 Peter. 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter in the 10th verse. It says, the day of the Lord will come. There's no question. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. That's talking about the aerial heavens. It's going to pass away. and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing these things, in other words, knowing this, knowing that all these things are going to be dissolved, he asked a question. He said, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Knowing that all these things are going to pass away, what kind of person should you be? May the Lord give us a vision this morning of the bride of Christ, beautiful, arrayed in white robes of righteousness, without spot and without blemish. So, as I sit down this morning, what about your robes? How have you been living your life? What have you been doing? Can you stand before the Lord this morning? And again, I have no stones to throw at anybody. I have to examine my life. And if you came this morning, you just wanted to hear the preacher come up and pat you on the head and say, Jesus loves you, go your way. You came to the wrong place this morning. Came to the wrong place. Jesus loves you. But I found that in his love changes me. His love does something for me that I could not do for myself. And so I would like to ask us as we stand and sing a song this morning to examine the robes that we've been wearing. Are they righteous? Do you know there's no disgrace? I've done it. I've served the Lord for well over 45 years. And in that time, there have been times I've come to the Lord and I said, Lord, I got a spot. Got a crease in my garment. Got it wrinkled. Lord, I'm dependent on your blood, but there's something, I've got a spot, and I'm kind of ashamed of it, Lord, and I need that cleansed. I need that fixed. If there's a spot on your garment this morning, don't be ashamed to just come to the Lord, because we're here to do business with God. I want to meet the Lord in peace and be clothed in robes of righteousness. So as we stand and sing a song, I'd like you to be free. If you want to pray and seek God at this altar of prayer, he has a cleansing agent. There is a power this morning, even after we've been saved, that we can come and say, Lord, there's some things in my life that I need some help with. I want to be part of that glorious bride that's waiting for her husband to be found of him in peace. We might stand and sing a song. Amen.